FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's July 5th, 2017. Everything is fine. Nothing can go wrong. Unless, of course, you speak with Andrew Hoffman, Miles Franklin, bullion dealers, precious metals, place to go, milesfranklin.com. And Andy, happy Wednesday here.
Yeah, you too. Right. Nothing could go wrong unless you talk to me. I hope that's not becoming my modus operandi.
Hey, well, you know, we're halfway through the year now.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing that we made it this far without any major catastrophes occurring, although some probably you would argue that the catastrophes are ongoing, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, it's certainly much worse. And, you know, does anyone, by the way, notice, especially after Monday's, I call it pre-Independence Day rate attack. You know, the cartel just smashes prices of gold and silver when the day markets are open for a half day on the thinnest day of the year. And the only news of the day was just catastrophic car sales and factory orders, followed up this morning by the construction orders. You know, I mean, we're talking about plunging numbers across the board. And, you know, the Fed's got to have their minutes today. And, you know, this pretense of we're going, it's not where, for all the people think they're tightening. No, we're going to tighten because they still are at a 1% interest rate and a $4.5 trillion balance sheet. And the economy is worse than it's ever been before, you know, between what's going on in the actual GDP numbers, which are the lowest that they've been of the past decade. And this decade has been the lowest since the Great Depression and the spiraling debt. And now we have the geopolitical issues that are going to be front and center today at the G20 meeting. Trump is attacking China. Everyone's attacking North Korea. Germany's attacking the United States. And today, just another one bites the dust. The South African Central Bank is going to be nationalized, whatever that means, which means more. Well, it means more inflation. And of course, you know, I'm going to emphasize more than ever, you know, what they have done in this post-election market manipulation. Again, look, I've been watching this stuff for 28 years, but 15 years in precious metals. And it's so remarkable to me that, you know, we expected when Trump won, it would be a Brexit times 10. And it certainly has been in every way as far as the impact that it's had. He's gotten nothing done. Everyone hates him. He hates everybody else. The economy is free falling. And yet the manipulation of markets has gone into hyperdrive to the levels we couldn't even imagine, to see stocks at record highs. And first the dollar surges, then it plunges, and interest rates have gone nowhere, and commodity prices for the most part have fallen. And of course, you know, the ramifications around the world geopolitically have been huge. And yet they push prices down of precious metals to the lowest inflation adjusted levels in history. The gold to platinum ratio is at the highest ever ratio. The silver to gold ratio is near its all time lowest lever. It's not quite there, but it's almost there. And of course, you know, we've seen numismatic premiums drop down to zero. I mean, I just bought some 1904 gold coins for the same price as a 2017 Gold Eagle. And of course, you've had the cryptocurrency revolution going on here. So there's so much change going on in the world. But the biggest change of all has been the market manipulation that is created, as I call, dot-com valuations in a Great Depression era. And believe me, that is not going to last forever.
No, it's not going to last forever. It's amazing to me that the same tried and true techniques they've been using, for at least the past decade and arguably longer than that, they just keep working. And, you know, it's a trend in motion. It continues until the trend stops. And the trend is going to stop. Make no mistake about it. You can only go on with this for so long. And then it's just going to hit the fan. You just know this is coming. And remember, like 2 weeks ago, we had record low volatility in the stock market. How does that happen, Andy, when everything is...
And the bond market.
Yeah.
And record low volatility. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's more understandable because the central banks have been, for the most part, overtly, but in a big way, covertly as well, holding interest rates down. It's a point where, like, the Japanese bond market, which is the world's second biggest, in many days doesn't trade at all. Yeah. One, because the government owns pretty much everything. And two, because there's no one left to sell. Everyone has sold. You know, I mean, no one's going to sell at these prices knowing that the Bank of Japan is going to keep buying forever. And Bank of Japan already owns so much that the float has dropped. And that's a lot of what's going on in our market, too. Look, I forgot what the name of the article I wrote last year was, you know, talking about how, no, you can inflate. You can't just print forever and take stock markets up forever, because eventually you own everything. And that's exactly what's happening in Japan, that's for sure. It's starting to happen in places like Switzerland. And I even think that's starting to happen here a bit because, look, I mean, look, the Swiss bank is telling you that they own $80 billion of U.S. stocks.
$80 billion. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? They own $80 billion.
Of U.S. stocks.
Yeah.
Just U.S. Yeah.
So they must own several hundred billion altogether because they're not just buying U.S., right? Is this just a hedge against the dollar? What is it? Why are they... What is the purpose of this?
Well, they you know, question. remember when they rejected the Save Our Swiss Gold referendum at the end of November, the end of 2014, when Thomas Jordan, the president of the SNB, said you can't vote yes on this. We need the flexibility to maintain the peg with the euro. We can't do that if we have to buy gold. And meanwhile, 3 weeks later, they dropped the peg with the euro because they almost lost everything they had. It was collapsing so bad. And by the way, it started on September 5th, 2011, the day that gold peaked. I mean, you couldn't have a more bullish announcement on the planet than the Swiss. Remember, the Swiss franc was really the only currency that had any kind of implicit backing by gold. And they came out and said, we're now going to peg it to the euro, which was collapsing and continued to collapse. That's why they had to get rid of the peg. So that's when they started it. And that's so they attacked gold on that day, and they attacked gold the day that they ended it too. But the fact is, the Swiss are continuing to try to suppress their currency by printing into oblivion and selling it, and they're buying stocks because they don't have to buy gold. And look, everyone's doing it. I've been talking about the dead ringer algorithm on the Dow Jones propaganda average. I wrote about it first in early 2012, and that algorithm, which basically means the Dow bottoms 90% of the time at around 10 a.m., which is when the Fed has its open market operations, and steadily climbs throughout the day. I mean, that's caused by someone buying the stocks. It's not caused by traders. It's the government doing it. So for all we know, the government is one of the biggest holders of Apple. They just do it through their pals. You know, the bullion bank, the government sells its gold in the COMEX through like J.P. Morgan, and they buy it through hedge funds. Who knows which ones? And so, you know, you got this crazy game of, you say it continues to work. Well, it's not that it does. It doesn't continue to work because look at the state of the economy. Look at the state of the debt situation throughout the world. The currencies are serially collapsing. You have all this geopolitical tension, the social unrest that's causing all of these, you know, like Trump to get elected. So it's working in that it's been able to kick the can a little longer and enable the rich to get richer at the expense of not just the poor, but the future descendants of the poor. But yes, it has kept the game going a little longer. And, you know, for people like us who are focused on money and understand how it works, we understand that it's caused precious metals, for instance, to become the, you know, more undervalued than they've ever been at a time when we know production is going to be falling for years to come. Demand is only going to rise as the money printing comes in. And then you have the twin destroyer of fiat currency, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, which is also, you know, we talk about, it's worked. They've kept things under control. Well, guess what? If they hadn't done this, there never would have been an invention of Bitcoin. Bitcoin was a direct response to fiat currency destruction. And it's going to end up being the ultimate demise, the ultimate killer of fiat currency, because people are going to flock from decentralized systems that take these governments that have destroyed our world out of the system. Gold and silver will just sit there inertly and be stores of value and continue to maintain that value over time. And they will have a big surge when the cartel breaks. But it's going to be cryptocurrency, which is going to be how people trade in the future. And you can think like Star Trek. There will be a change in the world because after not decades, not centuries, even a millennia of destruction by fiat currency, it's come to the point where, as I wrote today, my article was called Financial Independence Day. More and more people around the world, part out of necessity and part due to the spirit of fighting back to save themselves and their family and their descendants, are going to be eschewing government-printed, centralized, hyperinflated currencies for things that they can protect themselves and they can transact themselves, and that will protect the value of their wealth over time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it has to happen, and it is happening before our very eyes. And it's so interesting the way that technology fits in to this whole changing trend, and it's going to continue on.
Well, look, we've talked about, you know, I certainly have talked about it probably more than anyone. It certainly in our community, our precious metal community, we don't even have any leaders anymore. Even the prior leaders don't seem to be leaders anymore. But, you know, when you talk about leadership in kind of the blogosphere, you have to focus on what's really happening in the world. And it's not just all the gold supply, the COMEX, it's all of the trends, the secular trends, the demographics, and the technologies that are just changing the world incredibly. You know, you look at, you know, we talk about Amazon and Whole Foods, that's just symbolic of the millions, not thousands, not the hundreds of thousands, millions, maybe tens of millions or hundreds of millions of jobs that will be either lost or marginalized by technology, which is fine when everyone has savings, but no one has savings and governments don't have savings and corporations are massively in debt. So, you know, there's going to be a price to pay, and the price is going to be paid with money printing. And when it comes to technology, it's so ironic that fintech or financial technology is the single biggest reason that we're in the spot we are today. Yeah, we reneged on the gold standard. That's fine. But it was the derivatives and the high frequency algorithms and all the collusion between central banks and their computer systems that have enabled the system, that have enabled gold prices to be held down, that have enabled the stock market to go up every day, that have enabled the oil PPT to prevent oil from going to $30 where it probably should be for as long as they have, which only creates bigger distortions. And it's financial technology that's going to destroy them. Because again, you know, like we talk about in the Bitcoin community here, like there's this Chinese miner, Bitmain, that thinks that they can hijack the system. Like, oh, well, we're a big miner, so we can chart the course of Bitcoin at our will. And what they're learning is they can't do that because it's the greater Bitcoin community, which is millions of people at this point, which has the power. And people, and when we talk about fiat currencies, yes, governments have power and they got guns and they got printing presses. But the fact is that they've used those to the point where they've destroyed the world, and the people are fighting back, and there's now 7.5 billion people in the world, and many of them, many, many billions are very unhappy with how it's going. So yeah, the Fed can print money and they can have the machines manipulating markets. But in the big picture, they are going to lose to the very same financial technologies that they use to cause all these problems.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was reading an article over the weekend. So this new machine is called Flippy, and it will cook 360 burgers per hour and flip them and cook them to perfection. And, you know, there's like over 1 million or 2 million short order cooks. So you can see where this thing is heading. You're not going to need short order cooks. So what is the short order cook going to do, Andy? Are they going to start a blog? Are they going to become a podcaster? We're going to get 2 million more podcasters out there. Where are these people going?
They're going to go to beg to the state. I mean, that's why, you know, again, you know, we had hoped that let's say Marine Le Pen would win. Now, in the case of Marine Le Pen, in hindsight, you realize, yes, Trump is a polarizing figure, but Marine Le Pen is a far more polarizing figure in France than Trump is even here. And obviously, I'm not talking about the post-election Trump, where, you know, have people who are just so mad that he won that they hate him. You know, he's become larger than life. But I'm talking about the pre-election Trump. He was just a celebrity. He wasn't particularly in the public eye as far as his political opinions, so no one really cared either way. So he was able to win. Marine Le Pen, of course, had the history with the crazy father who was a racist, and so maybe they weren't ready for her. But more importantly, the people were scared. I think for the same reason that the Swiss Saver Gold referendum was so badly beaten, even though the initial polls for it were that it might win, were because people were scared into, look, you're going to have a financial crisis if you vote for Marine Le Pen or if you vote for Saver Swiss Gold. And so, you know, they wind up voting for this monster Macron, who's only going to make things worse. And for all we know, if the system is still around 3 years from now and Trump's still president, they'll vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or whoever other mainstream person comes in, simply because they're scared that something bad's going to happen otherwise. And so, you know, it'll happen organically, you know, when something gives. And things have been giving all over the world. If you live in South Africa right now, for instance, what I'm talking about today, it's gave a long time ago. Yeah. And you are struggling. If you live in Venezuela, where, you know, we're in the worst case scenario, and there'll be many other second and third world nations that go through that before some of the first world nations. Well, I mean, look, isn't Greece a first world nation? You know, one at a time, they are starting to do that.
They're arguably a second world nation. It's never been a first world country since I went there 35 years ago. It was a great place, and people weren't starving in the streets and they weren't in a major depression, what they would do is they'd come to the generous countries like the U.S., like countries in what was then the European Economic Commonwealth, and they would work there for 20 years and then go back to Rhodes or Mykonos, drive a taxi, and they would get Social Security, and they'd make a couple bucks on the side. And that's what kept their economy afloat. And then the way the Greek tax system was set, you didn't pay any taxes on your house while you were building it until it was finished. So as a result, they never finished their houses. So all their houses looked like they were in a state of partial completion. But in reality, it was a tax dodge. So they had this whacked out system that never worked. And it just kept getting worse and worse. And fast forward to today, you know, this is a generational work in progress, Greece. And until the world embraces free markets, Andy, nothing is going to change here. Nothing is going to get better. When you have government manipulation, then you wind up with companies looking to hire Flippy the burger maker to get rid of employees, right? I mean, that's
The point of the whole fiat Ponzi scheme thing is that the cancer, you know, it climbs up the totem pole. It starts at the weak links.
Yeah.
And then it gets up to the greases and eventually it, you know, gets everyone. Look, it is, quote, getting everyone right now. Whether you could be in the United States, the super great, everything's great. But look at our statistics. Look at the 9 charts that I put in my thing. You know, what happened under Obama, where every possible, from the labor participation rate, food stamps, real wages, all that kind of stuff. Just everything is going in the wrong direction. It's just that when you have the reserve currency, it's a little more forgiving than it is in places that it's not. I mean, look at Europe. I mean, they're the second best, I guess. And look what their currency did. It went from $1.60 to $1.05, and now it's $1.13. I mean, that's a big reason why you're having a change in the status quo, and you know these trends don't change. Again, people, Ponzi scheme means you have to keep going, and you have to keep going at an exponential rate. Everything will get worse until the system dies. Every single fiat currency's had the exact same thing, and you could say, well, look, the Fed's raising rates, and I doubt anyone's really saying that as a reason why things are getting better. First of all, because raising rates makes things worse. We don't even get the benefit, if we have bank accounts, of getting higher savings rates. I mean, look at your, if you have, I wouldn't put money in a bank. I have money in, Charles Schwab brokerage. My interest rate hasn't gone up at all. They've raised rates, 4 times? Not a penny. But I guarantee you, if I wanted to borrow something, I'd be paying a lot more to borrow. So it's not helping anything to raise rates. And they're not going to. This is just a bluff. As long as they can hold the stock market up, they'll pretend that they can do very gradual something somewhere in the future. For all this hype, there's really no chance they're going to do anything at all until December. And if they do, it would be another quarter point. We get to 1.25%. And when they talk like this is a big deal, if we do start to unwind our balance sheet, we'll do it later in the year, gradually, starting with a pace of like $10 billion a month. So again, it's F. And believe me, market falls, any kind of negative thing happens, that all goes out the window. They forget about that. They go to QE. But even if that was the case, we're talking about a $4.5 trillion portfolio starting out for, I don't know, a year, going down at a rate of $10 billion a month. It doesn't even count as tightening. It's almost comical that you're supposed to believe that this is tightening when it's looser than anything we've ever had in history. But they use it as an excuse to say everything's good. Look, we got the markets manipulated. We're telling you things are good. So just believe us, everything's fine. And the thing is, it doesn't work when all the people are out of work. And we're talking about Amazon. How many more people are going to be put out of work? How much statistical and seasonal adjustments are going to have to be added to the jobs report, for instance, to cover up the fact that we're going to have hundreds of thousands of retail job losses in the next 12 months alone. And that's been the only sector that has actually had any job growth. It's not even job growth. It's mostly minimum wage people working 10 hours a day. Oh, and by the way, the only real manufacturing sector that's had, quote, job growth since the 2008 crisis is oil drilling. Now, oil prices are collapsing. So, are they just going to say we're triple seasonally adjusting, quadruple seasonally season adjusting. We can have a quadruple birth death models, even though that the number of small firms dying have been more than this number of firms that have been birthing for the past 10 years. But we'll continue to tell you that that's 99% of all the jobs come from this birth death model, and people will believe it and they'll say, yeah, I want to sell gold and I want to buy stocks at record high levels. I mean, the whole thing is going to collapse so spectacularly, and all we need is the catalyst that turns things around, because it can't last like this forever.
No, it can't. And, you know, a trend can only go on until it stops. And this one's getting closer to stopping for sure. Well, we're just going to have to see what happens. But I have a feeling that the real unraveling, at least the apparent unraveling, we all know that it's unraveling because we're involved in it, but the public doesn't get it. But they're going to start getting it soon. And then things are really going to get interesting. So look, you got to go over to milesfranklin.com. You can subscribe for Andy's daily missive and his frequent audio blogs. Check out our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Got one going out today. And email kl@carrylutz.com for questions for Andy and myself. And take a look, Twitter feeds at Carrie Lutz. The Fakebook page is Financial Survival Network. Andy, we will catch up with you next week, same time.
Looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.